We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we continue our investigation or examination on is it right or is it wrong? Will you join with us in this investigation? Someone suggests that we need more preaching on love because love, the positive, will cure all the ills of the negative, the wrong. Right? Yes, we need more preaching on love, but wrong. Love will not cure all the wrong. But again, somebody says, does not the Bible say, preach the truth in love? Right. But wrong to assume that love does not include the negative against the wrong. Was John the Baptist right or wrong when he called the Pharisees and Sadducees an offspring of vipers? Wrong? No, you are wrong. That's right. That was hard preaching by John the Baptist, but the occasion and circumstances demanded it. Would you not say that Jesus, the Master Teacher, spoke with love for the souls of men? Oh, of course he did. Yet the Bible says that some of his own disciples, after hearing Jesus deliver his sermon in the synagogue at Capernaum, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" John 6, verse 60. Surely his sermon was in love, but definitely exposing and denouncing the wrong. The Jews were offended, the disciples disturbed, even so much that Jesus asked, "Does this cause you to stumble?" Was that right or wrong? Who would say that Jesus was wrong in exposing and refuting error? Wrong? No, you are wrong. That's right. Jesus was right. What is wrong for Jesus to expose and denounce religious leaders of his day who were in error, like you and I read in Matthew chapter 23? Jesus pronounced such declarations as, "Woe unto you, hypocrites! Woe unto you, blind guides!" 6 times in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus called the religious leaders and their followers hypocrites. Right or wrong? He was right because they were wrong. Jesus did not deliver a little sermonette on social and economic problems of the time. He did not, at that time, deliver a sermonette on love, although you can be sure denunciations of error was with love. It was love that went with him to the cross to die, even for his enemies. But never did our Lord compromise for the sake of love. He was always for the right and against the wrong. Surely no one could ever charge Jesus with being against the wrong and not for the right, nor being for the right and not against the wrong. Jesus was always for the right and against the wrong. Right or wrong? If you say wrong, you are wrong. Jesus was never wrong. He was always right, for the right and against the wrong. My friends, is it right or is it wrong? Surely you must know that the Word of God cannot be right and wrong at the same time. And our preaching the gospel cannot be right and not be against the wrong. Are we right or wrong? God's divine truth is always right. My friends, was Noah right or wrong when he preached righteousness to a wicked people of his time? Would you say he was wrong? He should let other people alone? It was their business, their style. If they wanted to be sinners, some might say. Don't you know Noah didn't seek to please the unrighteous, wicked people when he preached righteousness? No doubt. His sermon stirred up controversy and perhaps even threats against him by the unrighteous sinners who loved darkness rather than light. Was he right or wrong? Wrong, somebody may say. He could have avoided any conflict by just preaching on love and let other people alone. But you're wrong. Noah was right. So right that it was he only and his family who were saved from the terrible destruction of the world by the great flood. By faith, the Bible says, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Was it wrong for Noah to preach that the only way to be saved from the flood was to enter the ark? Right, you say. Would you say that it was wrong for Noah, a preacher of righteousness, or any preacher today, to preach that there is only one way for salvation? Is that what you say? Is that wrong? You're wrong. That's right. But how wrong can wrong be? So wrong that all people in the world were lost in the flood except the preacher, Noah, who by faith, moved with godly fear, built the ark, preached righteousness to an unbelieving, unrighteous, skeptical world, brought doom and death upon themselves. All perished except Noah's family of 8 souls. The only converts of Noah's preaching of righteousness was his own family. The Bible says, few were saved. And that really was a few. That is, 8 souls out of hundreds of thousands who were lost. You say that's wrong. Just a few saved? Well, you are wrong. The Bible account is right. And it may be that way at the end of this world, comparatively speaking, when few are to be saved, while millions and millions may be lost. I'm glad that I'm not the judge, and you are not the judge, but all of us will be judged by Almighty God, a righteous judge. Right? Right it is, because there is no other way except God's way and His divine truth. Another thing about Noah's preaching and the saved and the lost, there was only one way. Enter the ark and be saved, or refuse to enter the ark and be destroyed. But someone says, that's too narrow, too restricted. One way is not right, but you're wrong. That's right. God had one way for salvation during the flood, not two ways, nor 200 ways, just one way. Repent of unrighteousness, enter the ark and be saved, or disbelieve, refuse to enter the ark, and be lost. Right or wrong? That's right. That's the way it is. The Bible is right and cannot be wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, yes, I'm talking to you. Are you listening? I beg you not turn deaf ears. That is one way today, not 300 ways, nor 1,000, nor even 2 ways. Just one. You say that's wrong. No, you're wrong. That's right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 4. There are many ways to be saved according to the world today, but there is only one way to be saved according to our Lord and Savior. That is only one Savior, the Son of God. It is He that shall save His people from their sins, the Bible says in Matthew 1:21. Right? You must know that is right. Furthermore, it is by His saving, cleansing blood that people are saved from their sins. Hear this word of the Lord, for this is right. Are you listening? In whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Don't you know that is right? Of course it is right. Surely you cannot say the Bible is wrong. The question about the blood of Jesus Christ and atonement for the sins of the world were quoted from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. To whom did the inspired writer, Paul, write this declaration? It was the Lord's church at Ephesus. Yes, it was Christ's church, because it was He who declared that He purchased the church with His own blood. Right? No question about it. It was to the elders of this church that He declared, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops or overseers, to feed the church of the Lord which He hath purchased with His own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. The church of Christ was purchased by the blood of Christ. Right? That's what the inspired apostle affirmed. As you know, that can't be wrong. Therefore, for a person to be purchased by the blood of the Lord is to be a member of the church of the Lord. One cannot be purchased by the blood of Christ without being a member of the Lord's church. Nor could one be a member of the Lord's church without having been purchased by the blood of Christ. That is so right that it cannot be wrong. Just one way? By way of the cross, where Jesus died and gave His blood to purchase His church. Right? You know that is right, don't you? And that means there is no other way. For the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Don't you know that the one church which Jesus purchased with his own blood is his body? That's right, because that is what the Bible says. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. There can be no question about it. Not only does the church belong to Christ, because he purchased it with his blood, the church is his body. That is Bible truth. The Bible is right. Now, question. If the church belongs to Christ, having purchased it with his blood, and the church is his body, how many bodies or churches are there? You know something? The Bible has the right answer. The Bible says there is one body. The same apostle who declared that the church is purchased by the blood of Christ declared that he has one body. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, if the church is Christ's body, and that's right, and there is one body, is that right? Then there must be one church, right? So right, it cannot be wrong. But something else about this one way, one church, Christ's church. If the church consists of those saved of the blood of Christ, then it must be rightfully concluded that the church of the Lord consists only of those saved by the Lord. But someone may say, the church doesn't have anything to do with the person being saved. You're wrong. The Bible is right. This is what the Bible says. Are you listening? For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5, verse 23. This text affirms Christ is the Savior of the body. Right? Yes, right, you say. And the same apostle said that the body is the church. Right? That's what the text you quoted says, you may say. Now let's add it all together. Christ purchased the church with his blood, therefore the church belongs to Christ, number one. Right all the way. Two, the church is Christ's body. He has one body, the Bible says, and he's the Savior of the body, the Bible says. Therefore, Christ is the Savior of his church. Wrong? No, my friends, that is right. It cannot be wrong. One Christ, one church, one head, one body, one way, one salvation. You say, that's right. Right you are. Because that's what your Bible says. And the Bible is right, ladies and gentlemen. My friends, did you not know that Christ is the author of eternal salvation? The inspired writer of Hebrews declared that he is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. God's Son said, except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8, 24. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? This is right and can't be wrong. Also, Jesus commanded, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Luke 13, 5. Right? If you do not repent of your sins, the alternative is to perish, be lost. Right? Furthermore, Jesus declared, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is that right or wrong? Does someone say, that's wrong because I don't believe baptism is essential to salvation? You mean to say that Jesus was wrong when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Surely you must be wrong. Jesus couldn't be wrong. He was right. He was always right. What he commanded people to do to be saved is right today. Don't you know that it would be wrong to say, he that believeth is saved already, and may be baptized? When Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said, faith plus baptism equals salvation. Not faith, salvation, then baptism. Surely you must understand the difference. when Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," that's right. Because Jesus, the Savior and author of man's salvation, commanded faith and baptism in order to be saved. I'm not the author of salvation. Neither is any man on this earth the author of salvation. Nor any man in this world is to be your Savior. You know that's right. So right that it cannot be wrong. Jesus is always right. The commands of our Lord are right because He said it is right. What He said is right because He said it. Right or wrong? You must know that is right. The Son of God cannot be wrong. He was never wrong. His word is divine truth, so right that it cannot be wrong. What about you today? Are you right or wrong? Which way are you going? To heaven or to hell? We're going somewhere, you know. You must be sure of that. And we're all going there very fast. Will it be heaven or hell? Someone may be saying, "You're all wrong. Nothing to worry about. There really is no hell." But my friends, I tell you, you are so wrong. The Bible is right. Hell is just as real and certain as is heaven. And if you continue your journey without Christ as your Savior, you will someday learn about the realities of hell when it is too late. The rich man of the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, fared sumptuously every day, clothed in purple and fine linen, but one day he died and woke up in hell, in torment, begging for one whom he had mistreated just to dip his tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. For he said, "I am in anguish in this flame of hell." Yes, hell was real for him. Right? You can be sure that is right. And hell will be just as real for every disobedient person today who rejects Jesus Christ and His gospel message of salvation. Right or wrong? I plead with you today, just don't wait until it is too late. It is so much better to be right than wrong. Eternity will tell the difference, and in eternity there will be no changing from right to wrong or wrong to right. Too late then. There is a way so right that it cannot be wrong. The choice is yours. Which will it be? The Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Right or wrong?